Right, today's shiur is a sequel to last week's. We had a small item last week, but we mentioned something that was very interesting. We mentioned a chiddush from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and other places also that say it, that you know, there's a halacha that if a guy does a halacha for a year on Shabbos, if a guy, the Mishnah says, a guy cooks a soup for a year on Shabbos, so it's usher to eat that soup on Shabbos, and it's even usher after Shabbos, b'kadei sheyasu. So if it takes an hour to cook the soup, Shabbos ends at 8 o'clock, you can't eat, so you have to wait till Shabbos, but you can't eat the soup at 8 o'clock. You have to wait till 9 o'clock to eat the soup. That way, you're not getting any benefit from the fact that the guy did the malacha for you on Shabbos, because by the time you're eating it at 9 o'clock, he could have already done it after Shabbos. So this is halacha k'dei sheyasu. What we mentioned last week was that some contemporary places, we mentioned Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, had an einfall that nowadays you could have a scenario where Kadesh Yasu is not a matter of adding an hour, 2 hours, or even a day, but the halacha of Kadesh Yasu could make something usher forever. Let's say someone took a picture, a photograph, of an event that happened on Shabbos, and it's a uniquely Shabbos event that can't happen any other time. Someone came and took a Shabbos of the Satmara of making Kiddush. Such a picture doesn't exist. The only way to get that picture is on Shabbos. You can't take the picture after Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said that
by the time he makes Kiddush, it's already night. It's
okay.
That's
Abdul. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said that picture could be usher forever. Because it's usher, Kadesh Yasu meaning for as long as it'll take to do this after Shabbos. So he it's usher to be nana from it. You're not allowed to look at the picture.
Sell it if you want to sell it.
He was saying that you're not allowed to look at that picture. I don't think that means that you have to like cover your eyes if you're walking past it, but to make frame it and hang it on your wall, to take it and say, oh, what a nice picture. What?
Forward as a WhatsApp.
Okay.
No, if people take pictures of their limits, sell it. It's a big business.
Okay, so I'm not 100% sure that would be included. That was sort of covered the last thing that we talked about last week. Let's put that aside. So that was the chiddush that Shlomo Zalman said. Because like we were saying, it's usher for as long as it takes to make the soup after Shabbos. But this, after Shabbos, you can wait 100 years and you won't be able to get that picture. So that's all as long as it takes. Kadei sheyasu. We mentioned that last week. I wanted to pick up with that this week. This type of a case, the first one that talked about it was the Maharsham. The Maharsham, that's the Brzhana Rav, his name is Rav Shalom Shvadron. There's Rav Shalom Shvadron more recently, who was a Magid Mishalayim. He was the grandson of the Brzhana Rav. The Brzhana Rav has a tshuva on this topic. He raises the question, or he writes that somebody else wrote to him this idea. He doesn't mention photography. I don't know what the date was on the tshuva. He was that lives in the 1800s. He died, I think, around the year 1910. It's possible that the picture, the shaila might have been about photography, but his shaila was that if you have a good dip something for you on Shabbos, and it can never be replicated except on Shabbos, then could we ask for La'olam because of Kadei Sheyasu? And he paskin mutter. He said that no, there's no such Isser. And his argument was because there is a Mishnah that talks about something being Asr Olamis, a malacha of a guy being Asr Olamis. But it's a very rare specific case. The Mishnah says that if a guy comes and digs a grave for a particular Jew to be buried in, then that grave is Asr Olamis. He's never allowed to be buried in that grave, meaning we don't even have the hetter for Kadesh Yasu, it's usher forever. Why is it usher forever? So there's a Tosfos in Bava Kama that says that this really doesn't follow the usual rules. The usual rules are Kadesh Yasu. How long does it take to dig a grave? An hour, 2 hours? If it was a whole crew of goyim doing it, it took 10 minutes. So Kadesh Yasu would mean that you have to wait until an hour or so after Shabbos and then you'd be allowed to use it. But over here, they were much stricter. And Tosfos says it's because being buried in a grave, that's a person's sort of like permanent monument on earth. For that to be in something that was a Chilul Shabbos, an object of Chilul Shabbos, is such a gnai, it's so degrading for that person that Chazal said, no, lo you cover by Olamas. You can never use it. But Zog the Marsham, you see, that means it was a special case. That in one special instance, Chazal said that a Maisa Shabbos becomes Asa forever. But short of that, we don't find any Isser La'ilam because of Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos is, you know, has a short-term Isser. So if you're going to come up with a case like this, somebody took a picture? No. So as long as it takes to take a picture, it takes 5 minutes to take a picture. So we 5 minutes after Shabbos. You can't make up an Isser La'ilamis because there is a Mishnah that says an Isser La'ilamis, and it's clear from the Mishnah, from the Rishonim at least, that it's meant in very rarefied circumstances, and you can't extend it and generalize it and make a broader brought our halacha out of it. And this is so. This was an older psak from the Brzana Rav, and that's where Shlomo Zalman was coming lafugi from. When Shlomo Zalman said that this picture is asal oilim, he meant and not like that tshuva. He doesn't. I mean, from where I saw, again, I mentioned last week, I saw it brought down in the Dirshu Mishnah Brura. I tracked it down to the Urche Shabbos, which is, again, a contemporary sefer. They quoted from Shlomo Zalman, but I didn't find anything inside where he writes about it. So I don't know if he did refer to the Marsham or he didn't, but he's coming l'haitzi from that svara. Which you just mentioned, which we're talking about being moitzi from a svara of the Marsham. The Marsham was a yid that every Moshe Shabbos, he would make a Malva Malka, and that the Malva Malka who make a siyum on Maseches Shabbos ve'erivin. Every Matzah Shabbos, we make a malka and make a siyum on those two Maseches that he covered over Shabbos.
Over Shabbos.
I think so. Maybe it was the whole week. I don't know. Maybe it was the whole week. I'm not sure.
I'm sure that's not the only thing you learned.
Right. No, this right. This, but this was like an extra, you know, this is like his, you know, the chayvais.
Quick question. If your Rishar is takes soup from the refrigerator, puts it into the microwave for 30 seconds, can you have it on Shabbos? You could have eaten it cold.
But your soup is it's liquid.
But you could have had it cold.
But you,
liquid,
yeah, but
it,
you,
liquid.
There is bishul.
There is bishul for 30 seconds.
You know, let's talk about it after the shiur.
Okay.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman is coming to argue against that, and I think the argument is pretty easy. Again, you know, the Marsham felt, I guess, as a judgment matter that if Chazal didn't make up an Isser Olamis, except in that case, then we can't go and make up a new Isser Olamis. But the difference is very clear. That Mishnah was talking about something whose Kadesh Yasu is an hour. And the Mishnah is saying that nevertheless, it's Usser, there's an Isser Olamis, even though that's more than the Kadesh Yasu. Shlomo Zalman was saying, yeah, but what about in a case where the Kadesh Yasu is forever? So now, the Marsham also cleared his shayla about that, but to bring a raya that there's no Isser La'ilam in a case where the Kadesh Yasu lasts forever from the fact that that Mishnah makes a special exception for a kever seems to be a very weak raya, because the kever is a case where the Kadesh Yasu wouldn't ask, but there you needed a special takana. But why not say that where Kadesh Yasu lasts forever, it could be asked forever? That would seem to be a simple response to the Marsham.
Can't dig a grape?
What?
A grape is not
on Shabbos.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But you see that we need this extra reason by the grape to say the grace we could
right.
Even, if not for that reason.
It would have been mutter after Kadesh Yasu. After Kadesh Yasu.
Right.
Yeah,
that's against the Shem Zalman's vote. Right?
No, Shlomo Zalman would be happy with being matur that because they have a Kadesh Yasu after an hour, but he's saying that the picture of the Safna Rebbe never has a Kadesh Yasu. Okay, so then there's, but to come back to the picture, there's another svar that one could suggest to be matir the picture. This is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He, when he was asked about such a shayla, he said that it's mutter. You can't ask for the picture. And he said he's basing it on a Chazoinish. He based a lot on a Chazoinish. The Chazoinish was certainly the strongest influence on his life. That was his uncle. He grew up, yeah, you know, very, very devoted to the Chazoinish. He's very devoted to the Chazoinish's Torah. And he brought a raya from a Chazoinish that such a thing is mutter. Now, the Chazoinish is not in Hilchos Shabbos. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was taking the liberty of applying something that the Chazoinish said elsewhere to this shaila about Hilchos Shabbos. But the the discussion went like this. The Chazayinish was talking about students in a medical school using a cadaver to learn about the anatomy and the human body. And he brings down that Achreinim, the Chassam Sofer, others talked about the Shaila of Nivul Hameis, that a mace is supposed to be right away put into the ground. You're not allowed to abuse a mace. And maybe this is a violation of the Isser of Nivul Hameis.
Even a guy?
So, excellent point. Now, the Isser of Nivul Hameis is only for a Jew, is not for a guy. So that argument that they were concerned about was only relevant when the mace was a Jew. It wouldn't be relevant when the mace was a guy. The Chazayinish said, I want to add a second argument. What about the fact that a mace is Asr Bahana? Now, a mace is Asr Bahana. Even things that belong to a mace is Asr Bahana. Therefore, Tachrichim are Asr Bahana. If one takes Tachrichim, let's say Tachrichim will put onto a mace, and then you decide, no, I want to change, take those Tachrichim off. And then, if you want to wear them, besides that, you might be spooked out by that kind of thing. It's also Asr, it's Asr Hana. But the mace is Asr Bahana. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that in the case of a mace, the Isser Hanah of a mace is irrelevant of whether it was a Jew or a guy. Even a non-Jewish mace is also Asr Hanah. This is the Machalikas Mishen, it's Machalikas HaPaiskim. The Machaber is Machmer on that. The Gra is Mekel. The Gra paskins that the mace, a mace Akum is Mutr Hanah. But the Machaber paskins that it's Asr Hanah. So that would be irrelevant question. In the medical school, they want to use the mace, even if it's a Gaiisha mace, but according to the Machaber, it's Asr Bahana. Are they allowed to use that to study? So the Chazayinish said, yes, they're allowed, it's mutter, because studying something, looking at something, is not called getting Hana from it. Even though, of course, you're very happy that you have this to use, it's important to you, it's valuable to you, but Isr Hana needs to be some kind of a more tangible Hana, some kind of a more hands-on Hana. There's a Gemara in Pesachim that talks about Kol Mara V'Reach, Ein Behem Mishum Me'ila, Ein Behem Isr Me'ila, because sound, sight, and smell, Kol Mara V'Reach, they're all intangibles. So the Chazon just said, that's not considered really using the mace.
Chometz, we see you can't smell, right?
That's true, right? That Gemara I mentioned, this is in Pesachim, the Gemara over there talks about smelling chometz, and under some circumstances, right? The Gemara discusses over there, it depends whether it's efshur or efshur, it depends whether it's miskaven or any miskaven. It's a little bit of a complicated discussion in the Gemara. But the Chazonish said that there's a clear raya to this shayla, and he brings a Gemara, an unbelievable Gemara, it's in Mesachas Bechayres, The Gemara over there is discussing, it says, and we know that Chazal talk about how many Evarim there are in a person's body, right? The magic number is 248. There are 248 mitzvahs asay, corresponds to the Evarim in a person's body, 248. But the Gemara over there is discussing that phenomenon, and it says how one time they counted it up and they came out to a different number. But the story, Ma'aseh Shehayah Kachayah, that the Talmidim in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they took the body of a woman who had been condemned to be executed on account of being a Zayna. And I guess after she was executed, they got a hold of the body and they boiled it and then they dissected it and then they counted up the Evarim and it said they came out to 252 Evarim. That's the Gemara. B'chari stuff mem hei. So what do you mean? They dissected it and studied it. It's Asr Bahana. Isn't it Asr Bahana? So, right, it was a guy. It doesn't say who it was, but let's say it was a guy. But according to the Machaber, even a mace akum is Asr Bahana. And yet, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel used it to study it. So you see that's not a violation of Asr Bahana. So, that wasn't exactly a medical school, that was a yeshiva, but they wanted to figure out the halacha, learn Pshat and the Mishnah. You want to use it in a medical school to figure out how to do a surgery, but it's the same, I think. It's basically the same thing we find in that Gemara. There's clearly no Isser Hanah in studying a dead body. Nechaz Oynish has a nice chap. He says, so the raya is a good raya according to the Mechaber, right? Because according to the Mechaber, even a mace akum is Asr Bahana. So how did they use this body of that yeshiva? It must be that looking at it and studying it is not considered Asr Bahana. What about according to the Gra? The Gra argues and says that a mace akum is mutar b'hana. So in the Gra, there's no raya. It could be that looking at something is considered hana, but over there it was a mace akum, so that's why they were allowed to get that hana. But the Chazon says, even according to the Gra, I have a raya, because when the Gra came to argue against the Mechaber, and... When the Gra came to argue against the Mechaber and insist that a Meis Akum is Mutra Bahana, he didn't bring a raya from this Gemara. This Gemara is the most explicit place in Shas where you see people getting Hana from a Meis. So on the Mechaber, it's Shver, how can they do that? On the Gra, it's a raya to him. Why did you bring this raya? Teretz says, he also holds like me that looking at something is not considered getting Hana. So therefore, the Chazon Ish said that you're allowed to study a cadaver, it's not considered getting Hana from a mace. And Chaim Kanievsky said that if my uncle said it, Lagabe getting Hana from a mace, I could say it, Lagabe Hana from Maisa Shabbos also. Somebody took a picture, right? We were talking about the Shabbos, somebody took a picture of the Samarab, so what do you want to do with that picture? You want to look at it. Looking at something is not considered Hana. Just like the Chazon Ish Paskin Lagabe in the medical school, that looking at something is not considered Hana. So over here also, what?
So what is Hana? Just financial or
no, physical? Using it, you know, let's say there's a tool, you have a hammer, you bang a nail with it, that's Hana because you're using it.
Is it like a definition? Like looking and getting pleasure out of a painting is not considered Hana?
Because it's a Dervish Ein Bei Mamish. You don't...
So smelling something is. Right?
No, that's the same. That would be the same. He said that by Chome, No, the answer to your question is that this is really a much broader discussion. There's a discussion about Me'ila, there's a discussion about Chametz, and in different areas of Halacha, it's treated differently. But the Chazon Ish said, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky is assuming that what's true for the Halacha of a Meis should also be true for Maisa Shabbos, that those two are pretty similar. And if the Chazon Ish said that this is Mutra Lagabe Meis, and he brought a nice riot, it's also going to be Mutra Lagabe Maisa Shabbos. Even if, I mean, there is, the Gemara Pesachim mentions how when they went to do repairs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they had to try not to look at the gold around them, that, and so as not to be nene from the Mari. That's Mari. So that's like a contrary makar, but that's a different area of halacha. But Lagabe, this, they were saying, that these places were saying that simply looking at something is not considered Hana. Now, this is contrary to a Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim, certainly an earlier makar than the Chazon Ish. And the Prima Gadim already discussed this. The Prima Gadim talked about a case of a clock that got repaired on Shabbos. And it was interesting. You know, I was expecting to say, so it's a shaila of mare, of whether sight is considered hana, you know, Maisa Shabbos. But he said his shaila was not about sight, it was about koil. So I suppose this was a clock that chimes on the hour. People didn't necessarily see it, right? But it was for the whole town. Wherever you were, the clock chimed on the hour, and then people knew what time it was. And here, a guy went and fixed it on Shabbos. Now, if it's for the whole town, so then it wouldn't be written again because he's not doing it for the Jews. But let's say it's just in the Jewish quarter. It's the clock for the Jewish quarter. It's the clock in the shul. And the guy came and fixed it. So the Prima Gadim was discussing whether this should be included in the Isser of Maaser Shabbos or not, because after all, you're just listening to something. It's not really Devar Sheyesh Bei Mamish. You're not using it in a hands-on kind of a way. But the Prima Gadim said, no, it's Asser. And his raya was...
Without
Well, let's say on Shabbos. On Shabbos for sure.
You mean so, that Shabbos?
Okay,
yeah.
Listening
to Shabbos. That Shabbos. Putting that aside... The Prima Gadim said that it's Usser, a Brota Raya, because the Mishnah that actually gives the original, you know, the original case of a guy doing malach for a Jew and it's Usser to use it on Shabbos is turning on a light. Now, what's turning on a light? Turning on a light is also Mare. It's just looking. And that is Usser, but that's considered Maisa Shabbos. So the clock, the chime of the clock is the same as turning on a light. And therefore the Prima Gadim said that it's Usser. And this Prima Gadim is accepted by many Poskim. It's quoted by Poskim in the context of a discussion about listening to the radio, not here in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, where the broadcast is being made for the Jewish audience. So that's a malacha that's being made for a Jewish audience. So... it should be Usser, but on the other hand, On the other hand, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just listening. Is that considered a hana? And the Poskim pointed to this Prima Gadim and said, look, you see the Prima Gadim Paskin, the Gabi the clock, that listening to something is considered hana from Maisa Shabbos. So based on that, they asked her listening to a radio broadcast on Shabbos also, because it's considered being nana from Maisa Shabbos. But this Chazon Ish, again, if Rav Chaim Kanievsky is right, because the Chazon Ish didn't say it about Shabbos, Chazon Ish said about studying in a medical school, Rav Chaim Kanievsky took the liberty of saying that the same way the Chazon Ish passing that way, Lagabe Nana from a mace, he would also say the same Lagabe Maisa Shabbos. That means he's saying the Chazon Ish is arguing on the Prima Gadim and is saying that it's not called Hana from Maisa Shabbos if you're just looking at something or if you're just listening to something. So he would say there's no Isser on the radio broadcast, and he's saying there's no Isser on looking at a picture. What would he say to the Prima Gadim's Raya from the Mishnah that talked about turning on a light? I would think that it's very easy to be machalik. The turning on a light is much more than just looking at something. It's giving you the ability to see everything around you. That's a much more pervasive kind of a hana than looking at a particular item. So that's what Stama had. The Chazon Ish would answer that Raya. But al-Kapanim, we have this machalikas ha-poiskim. The Chaim Kaminevsky says that according to the Chazon Ish, there's no Isser Maisa Shabbos. Again, not only is not Usser forever and ever, like Mishloim Zalman had said, but it's not even Usser on Shabbos, because it's not called getting Hana from a picture when you look at the picture. Mishloim Zalman said, no, it is. And Mishloim Zalman, therefore, in the case of the picture, said that it's going to be Usser even forever. Interesting, very, very contemporary parallel, not exactly, you know, it's not much the same shaila, but just a related shaila that arose a few months ago, again, about this, about being nene from
something which can't
from malacha, but the hana is just that you heard something. There was a certain shul that this past Shmini Atzeres, was October 7th, and it was Shabbos, October 7th. And when they came to shul, Shabbos morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whenever they started, it began davening, so somebody came running over to the Rav, and he said, Gevalt, Eretz Yisrael is under attack, and we have to say Tehillim. He said, how do you know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael? So he said, I have a friend who's there, and he texted me. He texted you? He said, yeah, Rabbi, it's Pikuach Nefesh. The Yidden Hamam is dying. Okay. That's a very poor excuse. It was Pikuach Nefesh, but that had nothing to do with sending texts to, you know, to your friend about what's going on. So this Rav now had this information that he obtained, that was obtained through Achil Shabbos. He felt like he didn't want it. Now, this is maybe not specifically governed by the Hilchos Hana. Is it considered being Nenef? We'll go and say Tehillim? Maybe. It means we're acting on it. We're using that we got that information. But it could, maybe more likely it was sort of extra halachic considerations that, you know, for shul to act based on somebody's Chil Shabbos is...
What's not annoying you?
What's the definition of Hana?
Right. Maybe this doesn't fall into the definition of hana. I don't know if this is called hana, but he felt. But here, somebody in the shul, a member of the shul, so almost like trying to represent the shul, did a ma'aseh of Chil Shabbos, and now wants to be kaveya the shul's program for today based on his Chil Shabbos.
That's a Jew doing it too.
A Jew, right? A Jew.
Which is a whole different.
Ostensibly Shemir Shabbos, Jew, right?
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing than a guy doing it.
Right. Right,
like a bishul on Shabbos by a Jew has a whole different than bishul by a guy on Shabbos.
No, I mean the difference is only legabe after Shabbos, legabe the kedusha yasu.
Right,
but on Shabbos they both aser.
Well, they both aser on Shabbos.
Right,
but I think it was machlokes whether after Shabbos whether you could use it at all.
That's right. Right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's more chomer after Shabbos, right. Right, when a Jew does it. That's true.
What are they doing?
So what this Rav did was he didn't. He didn't say a word. He didn't say Tehillim after Shacharis. By the end of davening, he went over to, well, right before the end of davening, he went to a security guard. It's a shul that had security guards, non-Jewish security guards. He asked him, what's going on in Israel? Can you find out for me what's going on in Israel? The guy went on his phone. He said, oh, there's a war in Israel. Then he came in and he announced there's a war in Israel. He knew already that there was a war in Israel. But now we heard it from the guy. He came in and he announced there's a war in Israel. We're going to say Tehillim. Was it hal asr al pidin? Maybe not, but he felt that that is, I guess you could call it chil Hashem. Chil Hashem to allow the shul's policy to be determined by chil Shabbos.
He didn't want to encourage.
Certainly, right? Didn't want to encourage. So I heard this. I heard afterwards that Mary the Rabbi of Kalman Epstein very much approved of the course of action that he took, not to act on that person's information, but try to get the information a different way. Now, there's another. The Shaila started. I made up the case, right? But last week when we were saying over this Shlomo Zalman, so I said, imagine there's a picture of a Rebbe that was taken on Shabbos. So it turns out that there actually is a very famous picture of a Rebbe that was taken on Shabbos. And I have it here. This is a picture. This is a picture of the Imre Emes, the Gerer Rebbe, in Europe, right, in the 1930s, in Mariabad, which is a place where a lot of people used to go for vacations. Where is it?
Poland?
Austria.
Austria?
Austria.
Okay.
Nobody vacations
in Poland. The bats didn't look
good. Well, the Gerer Rebbe was from Poland.
Nobody vacations.
But, oh, they went there for vacations.
They're
Catskills.
That's a resort.
Now, so this picture was taken by a guy on Shabbos, and then after Shabbos was purchased, the Hasidim saw that the guy took it, and then afterwards they went and they purchased it from him. I don't know if there's any shilas really related to this because I don't know who he was taking the picture for. If he was taking the picture for his own curiosity, or if he was a reporter and he was taking a picture for a local newspaper, so he wasn't doing malacha for the Jews. If he was doing it because he thought it was an interesting site, that's also not doing malacha for the Jews. If he took the picture intending to sell it to the Hasidim, then the shaila could be negaya. But I have no reason to think that was the case.
But the Mechdesh Yasa shaila is different than the one with the Sabra Rabbi and Kiddush.
Yeah, why?
Because you can get a picture during the week.
Very good point. Right. We mentioned last week that when somebody asked, somebody had asked me a similar shaila about a wedding or wedding pictures that were taken on Shabbos, obviously a couple that was not from at the time and then later became from, and they have a wedding album and they got married much of Shabbos, and a lot of the pictures were taken on Shabbos, and a Rav paskined that even though they did their photo shoot on Shabbos, but they could have, they were still dressed, you know, in their chasen kala garb at the wedding and after the wedding, and they could have had the photographer take the pictures then. So it's not something that couldn't have been replicated after Shabbos. So this, you know, I don't know. If the Hasidim wanted to make the picture, they could have posed for it. But they never intended to make this picture. The guy came and snapped the picture when the opportunity arose. So I'm not sure if it's as good as that case. Maybe it is. But anyway, I don't know if the shaila was negay, because I don't know if the picture was taken for Jews. If it wasn't taken for Jews, then there's no shaila at all. But there's a different shaila. The reason why this is one of the reasons why this is a famous
picture
is, again, it was taken on Shabbos. You see that the Rebbe's son is wearing a spadik, right, which indicates that it was Shabbos. The Rebbe, now here on the other side is his other son, he's not wearing a spadik. The Rebbe is not wearing a spadik, but his spadik is right here. His youngest son, who is just wearing a kashketel on his head, is holding the Rebbe's spadik. What's going on in this picture is, okay, the part about how one son is wearing and one son is not, so it says in this article that, based on an interview with somebody who was there, is that the Rebbe had told people that they should, this is going to sound very funny, that, take a look at this picture, that he said, we're coming to Mariabad over here, yeah, in the summer, the Yidden, the Hasidim, we vacation here, but all year long, it's just a bunch of country hicks over here, And we don't want to be any anti-Semitism, so we shouldn't look too Jewish. That's why I say, look at this picture. So he told the people, don't wear your... So that's why everyone in the picture is wearing hats.
don't your spot.
They put on the Yankee cap.
Everybody in the picture is wearing hats, except for... one of the Rebbe's sons, I don't know why, he was wearing a spadik, and the Rebbe had a spadik, but he's not wearing it, but his son, his son who's a katan, is holding it. Now that's real, that's the...
A young son. He had a little child.
Yeah. Maybe it was a grandson.
That was
the
name
Menachem. Yes, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how old the Rebbe, I don't know how old the Imre Amos was at this time. He said it like with Tzvi Kozlovsky. Okay. That's really the exciting part of this story. It was Shabbos. That's why there are some, right? If there were no spadiks, we would say it wasn't Shabbos. But there are spadiks, the eyewitnesses said that it was Shabbos. They remembered that this picture was taken on a Shabbos
in the summer when it's hot.
In the summer, right? And the Rebbe is not wearing his hat, his spadik, but he's not holding it. There's no Erev. He's not holding it. Because he's not carrying on Shabbos, but his son is carrying it. So this is a photograph. This is evidence of the Rebbe allowing his child, as a katan, to do malacha for him, al das aviv, do malacha for him on Shabbos. Now
maybe the one working down on is like, oh, take a picture, hold this.
Maybe. Okay. They're taking a picture. Hold this. I would have said, take a picture. Give that back to me. I don't want a picture of you carrying for me.
Carrying?
No. No. So the emphasis is that this was, this picture is interesting, like, you know, actual empirical evidence of it, but it's no secret that this was a widespread minhag. In Poland.
Well, they knew this was definitely on Shabbos. I mean, they were
Right. No, I don't think it's Muchach Minei Yubei that it's Shabbos, but that's what people who were there say that it was taken on Shabbos. And this whole story, how the Rebbe told them that we shouldn't wear spandex on the Shabbos because we don't want to look too Jewish, but still there were one or two spandex, and the Rebbe's son was carrying his. So were they allowed? So the truth is, I mean, if you look this up in the Mishnah Berurah, you know, if you look what seems to be the straightforward reading of the halacha is that this is asur. Right. It was a widespread minhag in Poland. When I say widespread, there were many houses that didn't have the type of oven that was necessary to cook a chalent. And everybody put their chalent in the bakery. And then, so some places had an Erev, and then they brought it home. And the places where there wasn't an Erev, the children would carry, would take the chalent. You know, nowadays in America, we would object to that. You can't have children carrying a hot pot of chalent. But in those days, that wasn't the issue. The issue was that they're carrying on Shabbos. And so just as a point of contrast, there's a story that in Brisk, and this was in Poland, in Brisk, that's in Litta, it happened one time, there was an Erev in Brisk, it happened one time that the Erev tore, and somebody needed something taken from one place to another, and he had a child with a katan, and he told the katan to take it for him, and the Brisk Rav saw him, and the Brisk Rav said to him that you're not allowed to do that, and if you persist, I'm going to have to announce that your wine is usser.
Wow.
Now, that might sound like it's just, you know, hyperbole, like, okay, you know, in a Western, they'd say, take one more step and I'll blow your brains out. So in Brisk, they say, you try that, I'll usser your wine for you. You know, it's just like a way of saying a threat. But actually, that threat that he gave him was meant very, very precisely. It was based on a shtickel Torah from his father. And it goes as follows. This is found in a tshuva from Chaim Oizer Grzenski. He has a long tshuva. He's talking about the halacha that there's a Rashi in Parshas Yisrael and the pasuk that says, Atu vincho vitecha, has to go right leisatzik malacha. Abdukha Masakha, Atu Vincha Vitecha, and then it's Abdukha Masakha. Okay, so on Atu Vincha Vitecha, Rashi says that this is an Isser not to have a child do malacha for you. So there's a special pasuk that comes from a Sefri, or from a Mechilta. The Mechilta says that there's a special pasuk in the mitzvah of Shabbos telling us that you're not allowed to have a child do the malacha for you. So Achreinim ask Kasha, what about, not by Malach on Shabbos, what about some other Isser in the Torah? You're never allowed to have a child do Malach for you. That's learned, the Gemara in Yevamos says that we learn from Leis Achilum, Lahazir Gedelim Al Ketanim, to give a child non-kosher food to eat. It's not allowed. It's an Isser Deraisa. You're not allowed to give a child non-kosher food to eat. So why do I need a special pasuk in the parish of Shabbos to say that you're not allowed to have a child do malacha for you? Why isn't it included in the regular Isser of Leis Achilum? They're not allowed to be machal any Isserim to a katan. So Rabbi Chaim Oitzer Grzensky is talking about this Shaila, and then there's a paragraph in this long tshuva where he says, V'shamati me alufi umiyudai, my esteemed friend, Harav Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin. Now, who's his esteemed friend, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, does not mean Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was not the esteemed friend of Rav Chaim Weizer. He lived before Rav Chaim Weizer. He meant Rav Chaim Brisker, who at that time was a Magid Shir in the yeshiva in Volozhin. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was the Magid Shir in Volozhin. He was a grandson of, he was a great-great-grandson-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And actually, in two ways. He was descended through two paths from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But anyway, he's not who we call Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But it says in the Achiyaz, Rav Chaim Oizer, he refers to my friend Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he means Rav Chaim Brisker. That he answered the kasha like this: you know why we need a special pasuk? Because if it would have just, it says, Leisachilom. And that tells you that by all these surim in the Torah, you're not allowed to have a katan do it for you. But that's a din klali in all these surim in the Torah. So out of that halacha, whatever aver you have the katan do, we would say it's a violation of this general halacha. But so out of that, if you would have him, let's say, doing his or Shabbos for you, he's violating the general halacha of lois achilam, not to teach children wrong, but it wouldn't be considered a Shabbos de kaveira. But now that it says Atu Vincho Vitecha, that it says in the midst of Shabbos, the Mechilta Darsha, that you're not allowed to have the child do the Malacha Al Das Aviv, that teaches me that if you do that, it's a Shabbos Dika Aveira. What's the Nafkamina if something is a Shabbos Dika Aveira or it's Staman Aveira? So Reb Chaim said, because a Mumur La Shabbos is a Mumur L'chal Terakula. That if somebody does Malacha on Shabbos, he becomes a Mumur. His Yayin Esach. If somebody does another Aveira, Staman Aveira, even if it does B'mezid, it doesn't become a Mumul Chal Terakula. The Nafkamina from the Mechilta's Drush from Atu Vincha Vitecha is that it makes it that if somebody has this child do Malach Al Das Aviv, it's considered a Shabbosik Aveira and it gets this halacha of Mumul Chal Terakula. And that's what that's Reb Chaim Shikotera, or the Brisker, that's Reb Chaim's son, Reb Velvel. That's Reb Velvel was telling this Balabas. That if you have your child carrying for you in the streets, according to my father, Shekel Terry, it's not just that you're doing an Aveira. It's considered a Chil Shabbos. And somebody who's Mechal Shabbos B'mezid is a Mumul Chal Tarkula. So, okay, before I spoke to you, you were a Shege. But if you persist, so now you're a Mechal Shabbos B'mezid, your Yayin is going to be Yayin Esach. Whoa. That's the story. That's why the Brisker Rav told him that.
So if a child does something on his own, you can't have an orphan.
No, that's what we're saying. No.
Let's say a child brings a bottle of wine to the shul. Nobody told him. Can you drink from that?
What we were saying over now from the Brisker Rav was that would not be allowed. I'm not saying that it's us about it. Israel had no, let's put aside, but that it wouldn't be allowed. But to circle back to our departure point, but in other parts of Europe, it was a very widespread practice. And the Shaila is, well, what's the justification? You're never allowed to have a child do malacha for you. What's the justification? So there's a tshuva in the Chedushei Harim. The Chedushei Harim wrote a tshuva. The Chedushei Harim was the first Ger Rabba.
That's because nefesh,
Okay, the Chizurim, who is the first Gerer Rebbe, which makes him the great-grandfather of the Rebbe in this picture, he wrote a tshuva on this topic, about that which we're noyig here in Europe, many people are noyig, that we let children carry for us. And he had a very geschmackacha. It's maybe debatable, not everyone would subscribe to it, but something very, very clever. He said, if you have, the Torah says, leis achilim, that you can't have a cotton do malacha, do an aveira. So if you give a cotton, let's say, nevela to eat, so he's doing the aveira, he's doing the full-fledged aveira. He's just a cotton, he's not a bar das. It's irrelevant, right? Das is not a component of the aveira of eating nevela. When a person eats nevela, let's say a gadol eats nevela, he's doing the aveira whether he has das or he doesn't have das. Even if you have a misasek, chalavim, all machalas asuris, is chayav. Mm-hmm. There's no das component in a maisa aveira. So the cotton's maisa aveira is a full fledged maisa aveira. Teresa leis achilim, you can't make a cotton do an aveira, so that would be asar. When it comes to Shabbos, though, it's not like that. When it comes to Shabbos, Teresa says malachas machshavas, that a mice, even, let's say for a gadol, when a gadol does malacha on Shabbos, it's only a malacha if it's a malachas machshavas. Mm-hmm. Now, a katan is not a bardas. Mm-hmm. So one could argue that a katan's chil Shabbos is never a maisa aveira. So even though, the Torah says, leis achilim, you can't have a katan do any aveira, but to have him do a malacha on Shabbos is not really having him do an aveira, because he's not a bardas. And without das, it's not an aveira. If a gadol does it without das, we say that's not malachas machshavas. So when a katan does it, and he never has das, so it's also not malachas machshavas. So, but then the Chiddushim continues. He says, okay, that would be our starting point, but really that goes too far. I wouldn't say that by all malachas, because he refers to a gemara. We started off just saying a katan's not a bar das. Okay, that everybody knows, but really, there's some more specific information that's relevant. There's Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Beis Yud Gimel that has a discussion about whether katan yesh loy machshava, yesh loy maisa. Something is saying as follows: that if a katan shechts a carbon oila, so that doesn't work because you need a machshava. It has to be done l'shma. And a katan's not a bardas, so his machshava is not considered a machshava. On the other hand, if a katan, there's a halacha, it gets a little bit technical, if there's a halacha that things are only mekabel tum if they're a kli. So let's say you have a nutshell, that's not a kli. But if you do a maisa to make it into a kli, then, right, then the specific maisa is that you make a hole and then hollow it out so that now the shell is a container. Then you've made it into a kli. Now it's makabel tuma. So the Gemara says that if a katan does that, it works to make it into a kli. Because, I mean, here the katan's machshava, the katan wants it to be a kli, and he did a maisa, and it's muchach mitoich the maisa that he knows what he's doing. Because he's hollowing, he's making a hole and hollowing it out. So it's muchach, a maisa that's muchach mitoich that he knows what he's doing, then it counts, then his machshava counts as a machshava. So in a case where he's shechting a carbon oila, and he says that he's doing it l'shma, but we just see him shechting an animal. He might be doing it for any reason. He might be think it's a carbon or it's a chulin or it's a chatas or an asham. It's not muchach mitoichai that he knows what he's doing. So there his machshava doesn't count as a machshava. When he's making a nutshell into a kli, that's a sophisticated maisa, it's the machshava is muchach mitoich the maisa, then he does have machshava. Then the Gemara also gives a sort of an in-between case. There was a carbon oila. It was in the south of the Azara. He brought it to the north of the Azara, and then he shechted it. Now, a carbon oila has to be shechted in the north. So this makes it look like he really knows what he's doing, but it's not so clear. Maybe that's just where he found a good place to do it. So the Gemara says over there, that's sort of in-between, and it would work me drabanan. You have these various levels. So the Chiddushim said that if a cotton does malacha on Shabbos, true, it needs to be a malach machshavas, but a cotton could have machshava if it's mucha b'teich l'maisa. 38 out of the 39 malachas on Shabbos are pretty sophisticated ma'asim. If you plant something, so you go out with a shovel and you dig a hole in the ground, and you put in the seed, and then you cover it back up. So clearly, he knows what he's doing. He has a very specific design in mind, and he means to be doing it. So it's malachas machshavas. So, and the same if he's chayrish zerei, if he's boin, if he's kaysev, all the malachas, you could tell when somebody's doing the malacha that he knows what he's doing and he means to be doing it. And therefore, even a cotton's mice could be malachas machshavas, it could be asked mishum malachas achilam. But haitzah, there are two steps. There's the akira and the hanacha. And the akira has to be done al das that you're going to do haitzah. The Gemara says in Shabbos daf hey, that if somebody picks something up inside with the intention of moving it around inside from one room to the other, and then while he was walking with it, he decided, no, you know what, I'm going to take it outside. And he takes it outside and he puts it down, he's putter. Because his akira was not done al das to do haitzah. So you need a machshava at the time of the akira, but that machshava can never be mukh b'teich l'maisa. When somebody picks something up, it's not clear from the akira that he means to be taking out. Even if l'maisa he was intending to take it out, and he does take it out, but at the time that he did the akira, looking at that maisa, it's not clear to the observer that he's doing it al das to do haitzah. So the akira is always going to be left without a machshava that's muchach mitoich the maisa, and therefore in the world of a katan, that's not called a machshava, and therefore it's not a malachas machshava. So it turns out that 38 out of the 39 malachas, a katan's maisa is considered a maisa there because it's a malachas machshava. But haitzah, carrying the katan's maisa, is never a malachas machshava.
But if you give the keys to your son to carry,
yeah,
because we're going to we're going out to visit grandpa, and we're coming back, and obviously it's muchach that he's going out with the key, that he's going to carry the key out and come back.
You mean because of the surrounding context,
right?
Because you told him that that's what he's going to do.
Right, we're coming back home.
Okay, so I guess he's assuming that if it's only muchach mitoich the surrounding context, that's not going to be good enough. I assume I think that might be a good kasha. I don't know, really know. I don't know the Gemara well enough.
I think that's what we did this case.
You're comparing that to the Tzaddik case?
Wait, so hold on. So what the Chiddush Rim said is that's why here in Poland, Yidden are needed to be makel with to allow the children to do haitzah, because when it comes to haitzah, the child, Avadi, you never allowed to have a child do a maisa aveira for you. But when it comes to haitzah, a child's maisa is not a maisa aveira. Because since it has to be a melech machshavas, and a child is not a bartas. Now, he could have a machshava when the machshava is mucha mitaych the maisa, but when it comes to haitzah, the akira is never mucha mitaych the maisa. So therefore, it's not a melech. A child's haitzah is by definition not a melech machshavas.
Wow.
And therefore, there's no lois achilim on that, and you're allowed to. And that's why we're allowed to tell a child to take things out for us.
Yeah.
Even so, we're talking about an age of chinuch, right?
12 years old.
That was the minig. I'm not saying it's no problem. No, nowadays nobody does that. This is not a practice that's still done nowadays.
I know my mom just told me that she would go to the bakery and her child could get the children.
I heard it from my wife's grandmother also. But I assume that was in Europe.
It was Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, it was.
And it was a small town. I doubt there was an Arab because it was a small, little step.
It was a widespread minug in Europe, and it really runs contrary to the simple reading. I mean, even a Mishnah, there's a Mishnah that says, Katan Shabo Lichbois, Imam Loy Al Tachabe, that yeah, if he's doing a Malacha Al Das Aviv, you have to stop him. That's the Mishnah. So that was really the pella that the Chiddush Rim was trying to answer. How could it be that we all have this meaning? It seems to go against the Mishnah. So he had this very elaborate Shekel Torah. And the truth is, it's not done. Because this is all to answer the same question that Chaim Weizer was working on. Why do we need a special pasuk of Atu Vincho Vitecha? What about the regular Yisrael Leis Achilam? So the Chiddush Rim's Eitzah was that Leis Achilam wouldn't aser Haitzah because the Katan's Haitzah is never Malach Machsheves. But that still doesn't bring us to it being mutter, because that just explains why I needed a special pasuk. But now I have a special pasuk, so it should be aser al that pasuk. But then he goes, the later part of the tshuva, he has sort of a second Shekel Torah. He says, that drush that Rashi brings in, Rashi brings it from a mechilta, but it never appears in the Talmud Bavli. And he points out that it's not brought down on the Rambam. And then he wants to, he has some way of showing how the Rambam learned that there's a certain piece of Gemara that seems to show that we don't hold like that Mechelta. So La Halacha, we could work with it, not with that Mechelta. So it wouldn't be us, the regular Sefalai Sechilim, it's only us that additional Chiddush from the Mechelta. And then we add the second Shigul Torah that says that we don't follow that Mechelta, it's not brought down on the Rambam, it's not brought down on the Talmud Bavli. And based on that, that's what the Ilum is saying, and we consider it mutter.
I think the Ilum was so on the fact that their grandparents did it, their grandparents. I don't think they knew all.
No, definitely. The people involved. The people involved didn't know the justification.
Yeah.
But the Chiddush Erim was trying to.
That's what they were so.
Your grandma didn't know the.
Right.
No, he, as the Rav, you know, he felt like he has to find some kind of a justification for this minhag.
Right. It's a halakha, the same thing. That's what I was going to ask you also.
Yeah.
Is the halakha the Dalai
Lama? Yeah, the Akira for that also has to be al-das to carry Dalai Lama. Yeah. So based on that, he gave that justification. And then Rav Usher Weiss, he, in his discussion talking about this picture, he said, you know, it's actually, you know, a very Gishmak Tzushtal, that this is, you know, the Chiddush Erim was the first Gerer Rebbe. This is the Gerer Rebbe. Here we see a photo of this practice in action, and it's based on Shabbos, and it's based on this tshuva of his great-grandfather, the Chiddush Erim, who came up with this very elaborate justification for that minhag. The only thing is, I mean, I would be aware that although the Chiddush Erim, you know, wrote this tshuva and gave this justification, when you read the tshuva, it's clear that even he doesn't think it's such a simple thing to be matir. Because first he says that this all explains why it wouldn't be included in the regular Sefalai Sechilim. That's why we needed the extra halacha of Atavin Chavitecha. But okay, so it should be us about that. So then he needed the second Shigul Torah, which he himself acknowledges that there are certainly some Rishonim that are clearly do accept the halacha. That part was more precarious. If I'm not mistaken, in the first half, also the part about the ma'ase of a katan, the haitzah of a katan, not being malach machsheves, over there also, I think he said that there's a taisis that's muchach not like that, but he wanted to say it in the das of certain other Rishonim. So it wasn't like he wrote a tshuva saying there's nothing wrong with doing this. But he wrote a tshuva saying, look, everybody's doing it. They've been doing it for many, many years. Maybe this is something that, you know, that they could be saying on.
I'm sorry, but I was thinking about it more. I think I'm going back to my memory. She had to carry with her sister, so it was two people carrying.
Really?
So that's I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
Because two people carrying is
that adds an additional level of drabonim to it.
One did the kira, one did the hanacha.
Interesting. That would be a nice idea. Two people carrying it together. Okay.
But over here
in this picture, it looks like they're now. In all fairness, I'm sure this is not a Rishus Rabbin. I mean, you could see it looks like they're walking through a park or something, or woods. Right, so it's a Carmelist. And the truth is that we generally assume that all of our streets are Carmelist. So you could throw that in also, that we're not dealing with a Deraisa, we're just dealing with a Derabbanon. So then we had this Shekel Torah from the Chiddush Erim. So Rav Usher Weiss had suggested that what it appears from in this picture is that here the Gerer Rebbe is being samech on this tshuva of his great-grandfather, the first Gerer Rebbe.
So can we look at the picture of the Safna Rebbe?